chicken, chicken business, hoe, and raising watermelon, peanuts, and they had a pretty good watermelon crop that year.
What year was that?
That was 1925. And I was trying to rush to the market, see, to get the best price of the watermelon seed. And I pulled my watermelon too early.
What happened?
And I got a whole load of them cat in San Marcos. And when I, next day, was selling them seed. And every time I sell one, put them in a plug. I had a lot that wasn't too right, and I didn't want to plug them, see. He said, come on, plug it. I said, oh, they're all right, I guarantee you. Well, the lady plugged it right there in front of me. He was half right. Well, she said, you got to make this good, so I got another plug. It was half right. And I got another plug, and it was half right. I told her, I said, I'll do my whole load of the drink. So I just had to give her money back. So I gave her money back and went on back to the plaza, and I was so disgusted. I made that big trip way up there now with a load of hand right wrong. And I was wondering what I was going to do. So another guy come along, he had to pick up hog water, and he was real right. He said, I got a half a load here, I'll sell you. I said, ain't no use me buying water, man, I got a whole load here. He said, yeah, but you lazy, you don't want to get out and hustle. So you just buy mine, you wait in the daylight come where you can get out and hustle. So you just buy mine, and I go back and get another load because I got mine riding in the patch. I said, well, what you want for your that load? Make me a price. So you, make me a price. You'd be surprised. I said, all about, didn't have about $2 with me. I said, about $2? You done bought them. As every penny I had, they went and bought them watermelons, see? And now I'm sitting up there with no money, no watermelon, green salad. They hit them plum ripe, see, and I spread them out on top of my green watermelon. And they had one cut half in two, showing the public that it's all right, see, you know? Stuck it up there. Laid back down, you know, wondering what I'm going to do next. I said, that word. I said, daylight come, I'm going to start moving. So I looked up here, come old man, come walking down the road, passing by with trucks, see, hunting some bottom in the ship. Said, hey, buddy, look now, you got some nice fresh watermelon. Oh, they're fine. He says, they're all cut by like that half one you got hanging off of that. They're all the same watermelon. And the more marvelous agreement, I don't know what, but the only rat what I bought off the man. He said, well, what do you take from? I go and flip stuff around. No, I said, tell me what to do. I want to ship them. Your loan look like about what I need to ship down in Mississippi somewhere. I said, I don't want them to ride when they get out now because they're going to be riding on the way, you see. And he says, I give you 30 cents a round.
Well, you don't. What does a round mean?
It was 30 cents a piece.
Oh.
He said, 30 cents a round. I said, no, I want 50. No, I won't give you 50. I said, wait a minute, you done bought them. Why you want them? He said, carry them on down here to this box car, and you'll load them in the car. And said, I'll give a man to help you. So the man he gave me to help me, I didn't know why he could catch water or not. I said, can you catch? He said, yeah. So I got one of them good water in practice because I didn't want to bust it, you know. I didn't want to give green water. I told him, he told me, wait, give me. I said, I see now you can catch. Now you can catch. Yeah, I can catch. All right, then. And so I pitched him that whole one at the time that I know that whole load of watermelon. Now, mind me, I didn't have no gas in my truck. The $2 I bought the watermelon, that's all the money I had inside. The rest is in the watermelon, you see. So God gave me a check. I said, Lord, have mercy. He says, I ain't got no money here. I said, I have to give you a check. It's good on any bank. So I had to bring that check, come back home to get cash, you see. I got an age of time, and I won in then.
Where were you?
At San Marcos.
San Marcos.
And I was wondering then how I was going to make it home with no gas, you see. I drove down to the filling station, had no spare tire to jack. I said, fill me up. As I ain't got no money, I'm gonna leave this jacket and spare tie here with you till I come back. He looked at it. Well, how much you want? I said, fill the tank up. So he filled the tank up, and I let that jacket spare. So I come on home and bank of clothes I got home. I got next morning, went to the bank real early. I say, bank, I said, I sold some watermelon in San Marcos. The guy gave me a check. I don't know why it's good or not. He well, let me have it. I ran through the bank. So you come by here tomorrow. I'm still out of money. You come by here tomorrow, I'll let you know why it's good or not. So I left the check there and went on home. Next day I beat it back up there and sure enough to say, what's good? Then I go back and pick my spare tie. Well, I made another little while in San Marcos. Got my spare tie. And my jack thing. Boy, that was tough for me.
Did you have any animals?
Yeah, I raised a few cattle. Hole. And well, then after Billy got so dull, cattle wasn't producing nothing.
What year was
died, yeah, 1925. That died, yeah. Well, side with Orfield, and I left there in 1930, 31. I went to Orfield, started working in Orfield. Then I was getting money, see, to kind of get by on, you know, get myself a going again. And after I pulled up in Orfield, side didn't come to Corpus Christi, look, was still a better job. So when I come down here, the old boy had two trucks, named Miller. I said, Miller, I said, man, how come you ain't out hustling? Oh, fella, been a little bit dull. He says, you want to work on commission? So I let you run one of them trucks. Yeah. So I take a truck, I didn't know much about town. I take a truck, went around with him, you know, come into town. And a lot of bidding going, but he's such a women chaser, you see. And the jighead, I still yet wasn't making no money because he drank up all, he would drink up all the money, see. Soon we get paid, go to Bill Jones, and leave every day, all our money being the Bill Jones.
Was
Bill,
he white?
No, it's a colored guy. And so we make plenty of money, all right. But when we go to Bill Jones, we leave every day, none, see. So I said, well, we're going to get another job. And I said, I believe our guy wants to sell me a truck. Why don't you come out and look at it? Oh, yeah. You can buy a truck most of the time. I said, well, that cage, and they had a dump truck. Dump truck. How much did I give that truck? $300? $300, $400, something like that. And then I bogged by. This had $9. He said, you know Miller? I said, yeah. He said, if you know Miller and friend of Miller, says you can take that truck and start hustling. Pay me $10 a week. You can haul down the shell, see. That was a bargain.
Where are you going to carry in the truck?
Haul the shell, see. Building the sidewalk. Building the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Driveways. Some of them, they didn't make concrete. Build a sidewalk and curb with it. But anyway, Miller had two trucks then. See, after I bought one, I turned his truck back to him, see, and I bought my truck. And we'll go out and get a job together, see, $500-$600 in this deal. Well, he'll haul about one load. He said, Tom, I'm going to go by with Miguel up. I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, I'll haul home. And he go by that one, then go to the village, you know, see. Well, it'll be mad when he come back, see. And I'd be in a hole, I'd be in Dunyan's favorite job when he got back, see. You say, Tom, yeah, I got another job, see. Every time you get a good job, you know, I say, you reckon you're going to go by and pick up a good thing? See, I want to make all the money. He'd go by and pick his girlfriend up. On Saturday, come, I've got all the money he got to be out. So, yeah, I need to pay this bill here. I said, yeah, I said, I want to give you a part out of it. Then you pay your bill and I pay mine. No, he says, I ain't gonna have enough money to pay my bill. He says, you pay it and I wait and you wait on me. I did that 1 week, seeing never get my money. So I know to pay his bill, I divide the money up, seeing he pay his own bill. Anyway, that worked right on for a while. So when I left to come home, I left my dump truck there with him. Well, I left the dump bite off the truck, see. I changed for something, see. Then I left the truck, but I left the dump off the truck. So I come home and stayed a couple weeks and went back. He said somebody had stolen my dump. I said, somebody? I said, yeah. I said, somebody had stolen it. Was sitting right out there. Right out there while you put it next couple morning. I missed it. Son of a gun. So after O'Grimmel, he was hauling with me at the same time, hearing all the messing that note me. See, I said, listen. I said, well, I bought that truck from Cale. I had no pay for it. And I said, God, I stole my dump bed. What must I do about it? Your dump bed there. He says, who you sell it to? I said, no, God stole it. Well, I tell you who got the dump bed. This guy hauling down here, a shell pit. So you go down early in the morning and you catch it with your dump bed. So I see that truck with that dump bed on it.
Greenwood knew who stole it?
He didn't know. He knew the Mexican, but he didn't know who stole it. But he thought I sold it. So I went out of that pit. I said in that pit, here come that Mexican. Drove in there and got a little shell. And I went on behind and said, hey, buddy, yeah. He said, this is your dump truck. You know this dump truck? I said, yeah, where you get from? See, I got from Lloyd Miller. And says, what'd you give him for? I said, I gave him $15. I said, you sure you bought your truck from him? He said, you didn't steal? No, don't you tell me I stole no truck from him. I don't have to steal. He put well up to do Mexican. I don't have to steal. He says, I said, you come, I go rid you. I go to courthouse anywhere. Says, I bought the truck and give her a receipt for it. And, wait a minute, I think, no, I think she gave him a receipt. Then he had a receipt. I said, okay, so we come on to a little middle house, you see, and Messing walked up there and his wife went with the crime. I yet didn't think, you know, that they sold that truck. Nobody could make me believe, you know, that they sold that truck and they was lying about it. And I just thought, you know, that the Mexican had stole the truck. Couldn't make it believe nothing there until she put the crying going on. So the wife said, here come Lloyd now. I said, Lloyd, here the guys, this is the number. He said, don't you tell this man I stole that truck. Say, your wife, I got her name. She sold the truck and she wasn't made to see that. Well, Lewis said, that's something I didn't know him about. Because Lewis couldn't read and write, see. He said, I can't read and write. I ain't make no receipt out. The wife, she just crying up a breeze. And so she went on it, see. She said, they're lying up a frog. I said, well, I'm going to tell you. That's all right. That's all right. I said, give me a receipt. It's on the way you live. I said, I'm going down to cool out, I'm going to have you put in jail. Still thinking about the Mexican, see.
Just still thought he
stole. Yeah, I thought that he was still lying to me, see. Now, no dream, I thought she crying and going on because, you know, it was stole from her house, you see. I yet didn't think they sold it, see. I said in my mind the dumbbell was stolen. I said, well, I'm going out to cool out. And I left out, I couldn't. You don't put out there. I'll pay your money back. I was so hurt. I thought, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been lying about it. Lord made me do that. Tell me, go and sit in there. You wasn't going to need it. All this stuff there. And so, I don't even know. I don't think she paid at all. I think she paid me some, and I forgot about the DLC.
You got somebody else to help you with it?
With a truck? Mm-hmm. No, so I moved home. So when I moved home, moved back to San Antonio, I moved that truck there, and so I couldn't get no work to do with it in San Antonio. I went back to
What did you start doing then?
I went back working highways. Finished the time getting on highways. And finally, well, Lloyd came up to see me, see. And I gave him the money to pay on the case, like a payment on my truck. And he went back, I gave him the money, he take the money and got drunk with it, see. And they were still riding that, they had never received no money, so I told them to come pick the truck up. So they picked the truck up, and about 4 or 5 years later, I finally come to call Chris, you see. And I went over and talked to him, and he said, Lord, yeah, I said, we got the truck. I said, Lord, they're putting $9 on that truck. I said, you got a receipt? I said, oh, yeah, but he was a good friend of mine. I know that drinks a whole lot, see. But I made sure he's going to make a payment on it, see. He didn't got that money for the last time, though.
Well, tell me about your work on the highways.
Well, I left the Avenue and finished in concrete.
Well, what year was this?
31. So I didn't know about finishing on the highway. When all that got me a job, I got me a job from Zachary's on one end, Dobby's on the other. Got me, I didn't say getting no job, taking a job. Went on and take a job from Dobby. Finishing concrete, see. I wanted to learn how. I didn't know. So I just picked up the finishing tool, you know, the finishing concrete. So I dodged the timekeeper, see, for 2 days. He said, man, he said, I've been 2 days trying to catch up with you. He said, we don't even have your name. Who hired you? I said, oh, I don't know one of these guys around here hired you. He says, well, we got to get your name. And so we can put you on the payroll. See, now you're on the payroll. And so I gave him a name. And
it was, white
man? Yeah, probably got to give him a name. He said, well, you hired yourself. You ain't found nobody hired you. But this is why I didn't hire him. See, I didn't because they're taking your job, see. And he says, tell me what you do. You come back here, don't you? Can't wait no longer. You come back tomorrow and we'll get the thing together somewhere and I try to get you on the payroll. Well, I went on down to the job, see, on Brown Root job, and hired out. From Brown Root, see, I done lunch, you see, I got this sketch ever, see.
You're a rat.
I went down Brown Root job, and they hired me, see.
Brown Root?
Brown Root, yeah. They hired me, see. I wake down there, and along they come that, what that, W, come out the WP, see, you couldn't work for 40 hours, see. Well, because they started in San Antonio, see, and I work, 40 hours for Brown and Lou, and the rest of the week I go away for McKenzie, see. But they had the same inspector, see. They had the highway inspector over all the ones that had one judge over all, see, over highway, see. And he was keeping up with me, see. So I changed my hat, you see. I wear a straw hat on one job and a cap on another, see. And so one day, this inspector kept on watching me. He said, hey, boy. Yeah. You think I seen you somewhere? I work here all the time. I said, yeah, but I see you working somewhere else. No, not me. You sure? No. So I went back on Brown Root job. He was on the Brown Root job. He said, oh, I got you this job.
You're really sick, weren't you?
He said, I got you this time. I said, yeah, I said, nah, I need to work. My family's all sick and I need to make some money. So I'm only one able to work. Is that right? You work on Brown Root job Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, work on McKenzie. That's what I do. He says, now listen. He says, this is a penitentiary deal. So I could put you in a lot of trouble. But I'm going to fix out some paper. I want you to sign it. And it says, hey, you work all you want to long you don't get caught, cosine. Cosine, I'm not going to say nothing. So you won't get caught by none of us. But it got to be, you might get caught at other job, might get caught some wire. So I'm signing the paper.
But how much were you getting paid?
$1.50 an hour.
Both jobs?
Yeah, the work came down here. That was top pride, $1.50 an hour. First start, 30 cents an hour. 30 cents an hour.
Yeah.
And 30 cents was top price. Yeah, the real price was 15 cents, started 15 cents. But they, since I knew a little bit, I got up to 30 cents.
And then you worked your way on up to $1.50 an hour?
Yeah, $1.50, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So, you said to color boy you when I worked in Brown Roots, you know. They started by the same time I did. George Duhart, Bell was somewhere, and Barry Stewart in there. Bell was a good worker, but George wasn't no cop, see, and then they gave him to me, see. George pushed a wheelbarrow for a while. He put that little curb, see, he had a hauling wheelbarrow. George, you don't push a wheelbarrow for me today? He push a while and he get tired, he said, I don't see. And the mixer keep it going, you see, he's getting further and further, you see. And you have to take two guys to catch him when he gets a little further behind, you see. And I suppose, I ain't supposed to get behind, I'm supposed to catch up. George got mad and says, I'm gonna quit. So the man fired him anyway. Man fired him, George went on home. Stayed about 2 weeks, couldn't find him away. George did. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. My wife told me to tell you, if you could get me back on, I'll give you half my salary.
Was he lying?
Yeah, he wasn't lying, nigga. Because he might would have done it and get started, see. All he want to do get on payroll. I said, John, as you lie so much, I said, if I know you work, I'd get you back on. Yeah, man, I swear to God, you don't never have me crying, rain, sand no more. I'll give you, I'll put you over my own grown. So I finally got him back on, and he went there for 2 or 3 weeks, see. And we got out of the real bridge, see, with this screed, must weigh about 2,000 or 3,000 pounds, you see.
A what?
Screed, what they pulling that down the road, you know, pull it with a tractor. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a way to turn it around, didn't have a handle on it, all the way to pick it up and turn it around, see. And they weren't smart enough to hook it up on the cat, turn it around, and then they make the men turn it around. So they got on the hook for everything, and all the messing and come people all clouded around. Said, y'all pick that up now. Turn around. Because we're going back with it. They're all standing there talking. I said, well, but y'all make your mind up. A bunch of good, strong colored men there, and there's some, and 2 or 3 of the weak guys, see. I said, all you colored people get on this end. And put the Spanish people on the low end, because I don't lift with nobody, ain't gonna lift, you see. So if you don't make no move, I'm gonna holler. And I ain't gonna be lifted a pound, I said, but you don't get close to me, because I'm gonna be lifted. Because you know, that thing had teeth in it. Big iron teeth. That long, just all crosses, see, all straight up and down. We had to pick it up. Rhino T walk around with it. So when we pick it up and start it around, this boy Joe wasn't going to push nothing. Wasn't going to pick up nothing. He didn't. He just had the hand on hard. Let's go. And they dropped it. When he was standing on hard, let's go. When he dropped it, that thing went on down through his foot in the ground. Mm-hmm. Boy, you man.
He was hollering then.
He was hollering, let's go that time. He was like, Lord, help me. So then we had to pick it up, get it on his foot, see? They went throwing off his foot in the ground. Mm-hmm. So we finally picked it up and went around later on and taking George to the hospital. George had about 2 months before he come out on the road, you know.
Did they pay him while he was in the hospital?
No, I think he said he got $500 in the lawyer. He got $500 together out of the deal, you see. They wouldn't pay him right then. So George come on the road, all crippled up. Are you going to holler today? I told him, man, you're too damn lazy. What? You got to what? Lord, how much it, man? He says, I got $500 a day. I said, laid out about 3 or 4 months. What? $500? He said, $500 was big money. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't tell him the lawyer, boy, we gotta find out.
How did the guys working with you feel about the white man that hired you?
How they feel about it?
How they feel about him?
About me working, nobody hired me.
How did everybody working there feel about the guy that hired him? What'd you call his name? McKenzie and Brownlee?
Was working there. Well, they were glad to have help, see. You don't know what man finished now. He walked up and tell you he's finished. You don't know what he is, you see. And their job was tough. It's way back, Yana. And I played the road. I seen a bunch of guys working pulling cars, and I want to learn it, see. And I got to talk to them. Yeah, it's good money. Have you learned it? So I wanted to learn, but I work hard for you. I ain't know about no concrete. So anyhow, I went to talk to them guys. I said, yeah, learn to finish it, top price. He says, well, 30 cents an hour. That's top price. And most of them paying 15 and 20 cents, you see. Okay. So if I got that 30 cents an hour, you see, they thought I come from somewhere else finishing myself. They didn't know I was learning. They didn't know I learned until, way down the road got book on who on, you see. They thought I was showing up French. I wasn't no French. I didn't know a thing in the world. I didn't learn anything, you see. So after I learned, see, shit, couldn't tell me nothing, you see. We had a job at, Brown had a job in San Antonio, underpaid. And they wanted some, see, all the boys work on the road. We heard about that job in San Antonio, you see. And they all going to work on unpaid. They didn't know that same inspector going to do that, see. He know the whole state, you see.
Did they like him?
He was asking about that, but you see, you couldn't lie to him, see. You couldn't go up and get a job and say you was finishing, and you wasn't, you see. But he going to ask you.
What was his name, the inspector?
Seemed like I believe the name Woosie, Mr. Woosie. Yeah, he's out of Washington, D.C. And so, when we went on the job, they said, Jody, said, if it wasn't for you, we could get a finished job. Now, they've been labor on all jobs. See, they won't get a job like I got one, see. I said, I tell what y'all do. Man needs some furniture down there and needs some labor. And I'm going to go down there and get a job, and I'm going to go off. And I'm going to go up the hill, talk to somebody until y'all get high. See? And so while I was talking, they all got on the job, got hired, you see. And started pouring concrete, and let the old major come down there. So he walked out, he knew them all. So he said, hey, he says, why you finish it? We hired Thomas and Buddy, one named Buddy, and Frank Bryan. He said, they're not no finisher. I said, I know them boys. Say, you ain't got one out of the boys, Jerry Thomas, a finisher, but the rest of them, they're not, they're labor. But he said, well, I didn't hire a finisher. He went out and looked on the books and showed them they didn't hire a professor. Man, shut your job down. See, you can't pull it. You have a master finisher over two. You got to have three finisher. But you got to have a master over two. And so I was gonna be the master, see. Of course, it was a new company to him. That was a new bunch, see, to me, it was a new boss man, see. But he take my word, he take me, put me for the master. Then I didn't have nobody work on because the mother boy was labeled. He said, Jay, you know the boy? So I seem like I see him somewhere. I didn't want to tell him on, but they think they can get it. They think they can hold it. I don't want to give them a chance, you see. So the old major come say, Thomas, there's no use you trying to help them boys out. Because they're not no finisher.
And who said that?
Major, says the old state man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Said, Mr. Woosie. He said, we shut the job down and ain't no move paid until they get to finished. Said, that's all they held the job down, was just finish, you see.
Did they get one?
I went and got the Raymond Garcia. Now, Raymond Garcia was a good brick man, see. And Frank Spring, I didn't know about him, but man, he had a line of bull, mile and a half long.
A line of what?
Bull comb.
Oh.
By facing, I brought him by next morning. So I got this brown little man. I told him, I said, listen, now this boy, I never seen him finish. I said, but I've seen lots of brick. He's late. I said, because a man got some skill by himself, I think it wouldn't take much to make a finish out of him. And that Frank Spangler man, he said, I don't know that guy. Sure do talk. He's from New Valley. You know him. I said, no, I never seen him before. He's a number one finisher, Thomas. He said, I seen some of his paper. Well, anyway, he said, we're going to start next morning. We're going to find out why he finished or not. So they start that next morning. I stand and talk. I listen. I got out early that morning. I said, listen, you take it straight in. When you push your mud you got to go putting it at the center. I said, but don't go over the center, because if you go over the center, you sure they can't reach you. You got to carry the mud up and weather back and forth to low places. See, I showed him. But spring, I didn't get a chance to show him. I just told him, see. Then he came up to the office, tried to admit how they didn't want me down there, see, because I step out and tell them they see what they had. And so directly, they come up and got me and said, Jerry, we got one of the big mess down there you seen. He said, you go out straight now, because you lying, trying to help them boys out. That's what I think about him trying to lie to people, trying to help them out. So I come on back, and Frank, the guy with had all them paper signed that he was a good finisher. I didn't invite him. He's a colored guy from the valley. So I said, you come down here, bring them two guys down here. I want them to see how I'm going to finish. And the other way, I want them to help me. I said, Frank, how I want to see you, how will you go finish this lab? He got him 2-4 straight edge. He used to use nothing but straight edge. See, he had straight edge one hand, 2-4, and then one out there whooping that kind of glass. Come on out. I said, stay, man, I'm not going to let you do that. You got to work with this straight edge. You cannot go out there with that country. You got to work with straight edge. So anyhow, they all sit there watching. They throw water on me, boy. They laugh, man. Jerry, you sure got a mess. You're trying to help people out. See, you see what you now? You got to work off. You know, it takes me a half morning to finish that slab, that little piece of slab, because it was such a mess. See? So I finally worked it down, and they shut the job down then until I got some more fencing. So they went to Houston somewhere. I come back with two guys. One was a fence, one was a labor, see. Still yet, they wouldn't let me get down there until they start off. When you say, I got one guy down the fence, Jerry. So, I'm going to let Brownlee go ahead on. As long as I got you the master over, see. I don't want you to work there where it's from. I want you to watch it. While they make a mistake, make them fix it. That's my job, see. So Chef Garcia, boy, I finally kept him, see. He liked that day, see. I just showed him I pushed it out and pulled it back. But that other guy, he was a good finisher, see. We got the job rolling. And then the same thing when I went to Matagorda Island.
Where's that?
What year was that Matagorda Island, Mama?
Come down to about 35.
What in 40, huh? Well, anyway, I believe in 40. What the Matagorda Island, see?
Where's that?
Actually, the naval base. They got two big naval that did it. Out there on the island, one on Matagorda, one on Vanessa, see? The same as Naval Base here. And so, good handle finishes. So he says, we got a state man over there, see? He says, hey, Thomas, he says, the mother guy you had here, they all left. You don't think they're going to shore? I said, no, it's Monday morning, about 11 o'clock, and ain't nobody sure yet. They shut the job down and went to Victoria and got a bunch of finishers. And that 4-5 cut in the bunch, see. And that guy had a whole sack of two. So he said, Jerry, we got about 4-5 finishers out there. He says, I don't even know what they, you don't know them, I don't know them. He said, you have to stay at the office until you try them out.
Now, who was this, the same inspector?
No, this is another state man. He's out of Houston.
What was his name?
Oh, child. I have to, he'll come to me regularly. Anyway, the sheriff, inspector, he knew me, but he didn't know them other guys, see. So anyway, they brought a new guy out of Victoria. That morning, see, he carried me on to the office. He stayed about 10 o'clock. You Jerry, ain't none of the boys. See, they didn't lie to me, they lied to the boss man, see. Say, no, I'm no fishing. None of them. And so, my nipple was superintendent of the job, and Mr. Gubby Man was standing there. He said, Mr. Frenchie, he said, Mr. Frenchie not gonna let us go, Jerry, unless he got the help. His job called for three Frenchies.
Who was Frenchie now?
Frenchie was the inspector.
Oh, that's
the name. He said, Frenchie not gonna let us go until we gotta have three French men. Yeah. He said, you're the master, all right, but you got two guys under you. So I said, well, let me talk to Mr. Frenchie. I said, Mr. Frenchie, I said, I'm pretty good. Keep me going. I said, leave it to me and let me work something. Let me pick out which one can work, which can't work, see. Because sometimes you can learn a man, he's a better fish. He is better than the one that's been fishing all the time. So he catch on. He find some guy to catch on pretty quick. Yeah, I know too. He, yeah, but this is a government job. We ain't run no school. I said, I know that too. I said, but if you let me work long little while with these guys, if I don't, and we don't get improved before 12 o'clock, I said, then we'll shut it down. Okay, I'm going to take your word on it. So, now one of those guys, I explained to him exactly how to do it. That straight went on out. One on the other side, this big fella, he looked at me and said, hey, so I want no white man pimp come around and mess with me. I said, do you want to work? I want to work. I'm going to work. But I don't want no damn pimp. But well, you let the, come here, boy. Lay the matter straight ahead. So I went and showed him. He's standing around blowing his horn. You were talking to the man. I said, I want somebody wants to learn. But you don't know, y'all know nothing. So I want somebody wants to learn. So I take the boy and let the boy, got him all going. That job rolling pretty good. And, finally, he got kind of tired, you know, and he said, look, I don't think I want to be no finisher. I called another boy, come over there, and he says, you see how he's working? I can beat him. And I let him have it. That's where I got the job rolling again. Got some good finish right there. Yeah. There wasn't no finish. But the guy had all the tools, girl. He had a sack of tools. And he picked and tried, said, what is this?
He didn't know
where
he
was.
Where'd he get
it? I come find, and then the guy just come out of penitentiary. He stole him, come out on his job hoodie while he had an opening. Stole somebody's shoes, come out there and got one hired to a job man, he was a finisher. Had all of us, so what did the sheriff, Thomas? Didn't know, he had two, didn't know what they were. So I finally got the job rolling. And they had a little inspector out from Austin.
What was it?
Dotson. Yeah, had Dotson in. And so when he came to Austin, he brought my wife's cousin.
What was his name?
Mama? Cesar Red. Cesar Red came over. He's a road fencer. He was a good fencer. Cesar came over with him. And so it even they pulled to 5 o'clock, 5, 6 o'clock, and concrete won't finish setting about 8, 9, sometimes 10, 12 o'clock at night, you see. So all we gotta keep watching out there. Then Thomas says, yo, you do less work than anybody. He says, I want you to watch me. Even that, watch this concrete. Okay. So when they pulled that last slab, it was too high. So they're taking some of the concrete out. And what they had left in the bucket cap, we all threw that out, you see. They didn't need it because it was too high, you see.
You still working in San Antonio?
No, I was on this year in Matagorda Island.
Oh.
And so this fella named Dotson, you know, he was a young fella, but he was an inspector, you see. Said Thomas, yeah. How long you gonna be before that car gets set? How long it be a good one? You got it, say, Rick, me, you go get a cup of coffee? I said, yeah. So I got the truck with him, went on, got a cup of coffee, come back. Still wet. He says, let's go back and get another cup of coffee. About 11 o'clock when we got back. When we got back, the coffee had done dried and sucked all down. I said, look at yonder, man. He said, what happened? I said, I done down. I ain't got nothing. They done take another car, somebody done throw it away, and I ain't got nothing to fill it up with. Is that your word? I said, well, put me out. So he put me out. So he going back. I checked in the morning, told him. Said, it better be right. He showed that I ain't going to be right. It's going to be right. I'm up on the hills and found that big rock. I rode down that slab. Dug me out a big hole and buried this rock down in the country, you see. And it fizzled out real nice. I had a little concrete left. Fill it up. So the next morning, said the inspector, he saw it was low when it left me. See, he was he's out there first thing next morning. See, he went checking in that month. Had a red guy with him, see, that he was good in front of himself, see. So he come out the next morning, the pole cat had them walk around on top of it and this tracks all over. Say, Tom, I said, yeah. What happened? I said, I raised it. How you raise it when there wasn't no mud to raise it with? So I was here, I went there and left. It was low. I said, well, it wasn't low it looked like. I said, it wasn't low it looked like. I said, I found some little mud on the corner back there and brought down and raised it up. Raised them corners up. I said, looked like a low, it wasn't low. Oh, man, what are you talking about? I said, it's all right now, but how you do it? That's the only thing I tell you. I said, we just looked at it wrong. So, Red, he wanted me to tell him what happened. See, so you tell him, right, guy, you know. So, Tom, it's a coma. Tom, you know, I know you're crooked. You've been saying it going as long as I have. So, if something went wrong, he says, he said, what happened? Come on, tell me. I said, oh, man, you ain't nowhere. He said, what are all these tracks on now? I said, man, that's a pool cat. I don't know why you heard of a pool cat, man.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know why this inspector heard of a pool cat. He said, what is a pool cat? You ain't never seen a pool cat that smell bad when he dog get after him? He says, I wonder how come a pool cat, what business got to be got this friend now. I said, he's an inspector. Boy, he left that laughing, see. Then who run back for a long time, you know. So when the job finished, you see, and I was leaving, coming home, I met him down the bar. He said, Tom, he said, I never forget about it. You tell me we got a pool cat inspector out here. I said, now I'm going to tell you the truth about that country. I said, I couldn't have told him then, because I probably got in trouble, got you in trouble. I said, I went up on the hill and found me a rock. And rolled out that bed in that concrete. I had to get calm somewhere. Then I had enough concrete to finish. He said, Red told me you was crooked. I said, you gonna have to be crooked, man. Sure, to make your work stand up. You gotta be. Yes, sir, I've had some awful snails in country. I tell you what stopped me being crooked in country. When we worked in Austin, when I first started working with Brown Root, HB Zachary, along the 25, see. We done 5 miles there in New Brown. It just wouldn't pass. Inspector wouldn't pass it. And they kept really saying about it there. He said, if this won't pay, you're going to break it out. You mean to tell him, put it in that concrete, you're going to break it out? See, yeah, I'm going to break it out. And he said, every time we check it, said one side is 2 inches lower than the other. So, me and this old foreman went back there, and I got a red pencil and a yellow pencil.
What was the foreman's name?
Ward. Me and little old Ward went back there, see. Jay, you know anything? I said, now listen. Let's measure. I want to get the low spot. We'll check and see. This on this side is low. Down about where the lowest see. I put red mark. Low. It's low. That's high. That's the yellow mark. See? It's high. But it didn't run. It run about 200 foot low on this side. Then it jumped the other side 200 foot. See? Well, that would have me, see. Long as the whole side was low on this side, well, I could get it pretty good. The red mark's on low, and the yellow mark is on high. Now, listen. Now, when we get out of here, and I'm going to hold my fingers up, you said, hey, you're going to change sides, see. See, where I was going, now, this here was, this was low. This was low. I hold a string, this is a string pulling here, see. See, that's low. Now to get this high, I put that string down this way. Outside curves, he put that in this way, see. He's not made from the top, he's made from, I think it's 2 inches down, see. They check that whole 5 miles, see. And every time I see a yellow mark, a long yellow mark, it means you change on the other side. See, I got to be on the other side. See, I got to be on the side the mark's on. See. So change side, let Judge go on the other side. Well, that's what I want, to go on the other side. I see that red mark, see. The red mark, every time I pull that string, I got like that. You got it down on? Yeah. See. We check that whole 5 miles. So then on the end, they sat there and figured. Said, Thomas, I can't say you've called up, and you don't even know what's going on. I said, Mother, you think I don't? Even the guy sent the man in the neediness and the frequency, and it figured out on the money seat. He said, I'll tell you, let's just don't check it no more. I said, I got it on the money, so I'm okay like the shit. So he okayed it. So, next day, my boy come with a journey. He said, I want you to stay with me as long as I be in porn country. He said, we'd have towed that 5 miles out. He said, we're running to $4,000 or $5,000. He said, you really have helped the country. So I don't know what you've done, but you wouldn't put them red marks on whatever you've done, do it. He said, call the check out. But he didn't know what I was doing. I wouldn't tell him because I don't know. Knowing from my phone, but how much I don't know. See, when they come along here, that's 2 inches right there. That string I put it straight. See, my finger on the concrete. But when they get that yellow mark, I go down 2 inches down the side. Pull it tight. See, he's the phone on the other side. He can't see with my hand over here. See, pull it tight. I got that finger right on top of that string. See, and it come from the bottom, ain't coming to the top here. That's what we got. I got it paced.
And that's what started you?
Yeah, boy, and I was a number one highway man then. You couldn't tell me nothing. So they got it passed then, so after they finished that job, went to Laredo. Well, they changed foreman. Put Cecil overseas. And when we in Laredo, when I was in Laredo, come rain, all the guys sitting around couldn't do it, sitting around camp. Well, the post office down there was pouring some concrete, and all these men went to Louisiana somewhere, and it got flooded out, and they couldn't get back, and they wanted two number one finishers. Well, we had some colored boys and had some white boys. White boy was getting a big price and couldn't finish it, and colored boy was getting a low price and could finish, you see. So the man called, wanted two number one finishers, he sent them two white boys down there. So they went on down there. I said, why do you go to John Lamb? Says, they wanted the two number one finishers down at the post office down in Laredo. I said, what John Lamb going to do? He said, well, they top. So they were going down there about a couple hours and come back. And what happened? Oh, one of the biggest mess down there you've seen. The dry, kind of real dry, and that old man hollering going on and this and that, you know. And we come on back. So me and Leroy went on walking on down there. And man said, you don't know anything about finishing. We're finished. He says, I'm behind him. My man ain't showed up. Says, I'll pay you. I don't know what it is. He paid him more than he was getting. He didn't help him.
But how much was it?
Let me see. We must have been getting around $1.75.
An hour?
Yeah. See, that's the government outfit down there. That wasn't an hour. That was the post office man down there. He paying that big price too because he done almost lost his concrete. See, he said, I got one of the big mess here and I'm pulling all his concrete and ain't got now man. So we got then started finishing concrete. Got caught up. See, and long about 4 o'clock, his men come in. See, so this Sheriff Brownwood. Zachary, foreman came along that while we were, he thought them white boys down there, hey, what happened? So then I sent old Bruce them down here. I said, yeah, the man run them all. What? Bruce, I'm getting friends in no concrete. Oh, Toma, you didn't know that? I said, man, but what we done is that we been here. He said, I don't know. He told her, I don't know if I hadn't gotten them boys, I lost his job. See, you got some good friends there. So I wish I could keep him. And then in the show, my old boy got mad about it. Yeah, he got harness mad. I said, hey, bro, I can't fetch no concrete. I said, anytime we wasn't out there, you got to find some more finish. We got to take care of them guys. But they're paying them more than they pay us, you see. Man, they won't get that at all. And so when Bruce don't come back, I could have stayed there. No man cost too much. Yeah, but that money wasn't too much.